half is Daf Yud Aleph. So we are on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara, right? Yeah, the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, right? Yeah. The Gemara says the two dots, six lines up, Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Eluk Sher. Rabbi Shimon had argued on the Tanakhama. He thought it would be permitted for these cases if it went to Arkaus Shel Ovdei Chachavim, if the get and the shichur went through the non-Jewish court, it would be a kosher get. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'la b'nei krisis nenu." How could that be? How could the Ovdei Chachavim officiate a get? They're not subject to the lachas of krisis. They can't. Therefore, they can't do this. Does Rashi explain the Gemara a little bit clearly here? No, I don't see Rashi here. So the Gemara answers, "Amar Rabbi Zera Yared Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso shir Rabbi Elazar." We saw this earlier that he paskin like Rabbi Elazar d'amar Eidim Masir Karsi. He paskins that Eidim Masir. It's not about who signs. We don't care about who signs it. We care about who are observing, who's witnessing, passing the get. And therefore, since you only require Eidim Masir, not Eidei Chasima, they therefore permit it. So Rashi just explains here, four lines from the bottom, Yared Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso shir Rabbi Elazar, d'amar Eidei Masir haget hu dekarsi. It's Eidim Masir that's going to define and create everything. Kedamar beperk baser daf pevav afal pishein alav edim, even though there are no edim, el shenasula bifne edim, as long as it was given in front of edim, that's enough, according to Rabbi Elazar, and apparently Rabbi Shimon as well. Rabbi Shimon nami bahachi michshar shimisar yimserenu la bifne edim Yisrael. Even though it's taking place in a goyish court, has to be that there are two edim, the Yisrael, two Jewish edim that are witnessing the Mesirah. And that's why it's okay. The Gemara says, wait a second, the last two lines of Yud Amud Beis, V'ha'amar Rabbi Abba Modi Rabbi Elazar B'mezuyah Medochash Apostle. But doesn't he agree? If there are possible Eidim on the actual get, it's going to disqualify, it's going to be considered a forged get. So we see that in Echanami you don't require Eidim, but if there are Eidim that sign the Shara, the get, it will disqualify it. So how could they allow there to be this get passing through a non-Jewish court where non-Jews are going to be signing the get? So the Gemara explains, Ahach B'mai Skin, what are we dealing with here? B'shemos Muvhakim. We're talking about Shemus Muvhakim, which Rashi says on the very top of Yud Aleph Amin Aleph, B'shemos HaMuvhakim De'ov De'chachavim, well-known non-Jewish names that Yidden would never use. De'lo Shechicha Yisrael, it's uncommon that a Yisrael will use these names. De'maski Bahani Shmeim, they're going to call their children by these names. De'sulo Asi L'mesmach Alayo De'meida Yadu De'ov De'chachavim Him. So the only reason why Rabbi Elazar said it's possible to have non-Jewish Edom or possible Edom on the Shar is because you might use them in other cases. But since the names that were being used were so clear, they were Chris, and no Jew would use the name Chris, let's say, it would Muhammad, no Jew would use the name Muhammad, then there would not be a problem. No one would ever think to use those names and allow them to be on some other Shar as well. So now the Gemara wants to know, this is what Adam was referring to, I think, yesterday, what exactly is an example, Heichi Dami Shemos Muvhakim? What exactly is the name of Shemos Muvhakim? So Amar Papa, Papa says, Kagon Hurmiz v'ovidina bar shibsoi ubar kedri ubati v'nakim ona. All those are examples of non-Jewish names that no Jew would ever use. Aval shemos shein muvakim. My, well, let's say their names are not so, they're not exclusively used by goyim, but yesh v'yesh, a name like Adam, Mandy, Harry, and Ricky might all be names that are used by Jews and non-Jews alike. So what's halacha? My lav, my lo, does it mean that it doesn't work that way? It doesn't work when you use names that are used by both Jews and non-Jews. Ihachi, that's the case. Adetani Seifa, from the fact that the Seifa says, Lo huskaru el bizman shenasu behedyo, it was only true that it was when it was done in the case of a hedyo, which we haven't yet defined what the case of a hedyo is yet. But we're seeing that there's a qualification. The Gemara always uses this svara. Whenever the Mishnah makes one qualification, and there's room to make another qualification, it should make the second qualification as well. So from the very fact that Mishnah made one qualification of defining between a hedyot and a baki, liflog v'lisnei, there should be a second qualification, bidida, b'med d'var amurim b'shemus muvakim, the Mishnah should have said. When is this true? When we allow, when we tolerate a b'arkal she of the kochavim, when you're using clear, exclusive names of non-Jews. Aval shemus shein muvakim lo, but if you're using names that are used by both Jews and non-Jews, that wouldn't work. The Mishnah should have made such a qualification. And from the very fact that it did not, tells us that that can't be a correct distinction. So Gemara says, no. Hachanami kamar, that's exactly what the Mishnah means to say. Bamed v'amurim, the Mishnah means to say, b'shemes muvakim, when is it true that we allow them to go through a non-Jewish court? It's when they're being used, when non-Jewish names, that exclusively non-Jewish names are being used. Aval b'shemes she'ein muvakim, names that are not exclusive to non-Jews. Nase kimisha nase behedyot, upsulun, it's as if it was done in the court of a hedyot, a unprofessional court, and would therefore be disqualified. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, Another explanation here is Seifa, Asan Legite Mamon. The Seifa is referring to Shtaros in general. V'hachi Kamar, Lo Huskaru Gitin Mamon Dipsulun Ela Bizman Shinasa Behedu. That qualification is not qualifying Gitin Hashem. We're not making any qualifications about Gitin Hashem. That's why we never mentioned the Shemus Mavakim qualification either. The qualification of the Seifa is referring to the Shtaros case, that qualification. And it's saying as follows, when is it true that you cannot have a Shtar go through a Shtar Mamon, go through a non-Jewish court system? That's only when it was done with a Nasa Behedu. If it was done through a professional, then it would be okay. So let's look at Rashi in this last case here. Rashi says, Asan Legite Mamon, Rabbanan Kamri, the Rabbanan are saying this, V'Areshikai, is going back on the Reish of the Mishnah, which said, Kol Ashtaros Shel Mamon, all monetary documents, Ha'olin Barkaos Shel Ovdei Chacham, that go through non-Jewish courts. Kisherim, they're kosher, could go in Shtari Mecher, they're all kosher. Uktiprishas, Taimed Leal, Duzuze Kani Le, V'Shar Le Sa'adus Abalma, because the reason why it works is that the money transferring is the acquisition of the property. And the shtar is simply a chasp b'alm, rather it's a raya b'alm, it's simply a proof, and we don't really care who signs it, it's really not so important. V'lo the yav zuzei kamayu, had the guy not paid the money, lo havemari nafshay lemichtav shtar, the guy, the seller, wouldn't have wrote the deed in the first place. V'lo huskaru lifsol el bezman shenasu behedyo de lo kapti arurad nafshayu. It's only true when this is done in a court of a hedyo. But if this is done in a court of a professional court, then he would be willing to write the shtar. The shtar would have more meaning to it, and it would therefore be, what? It would be pasul or kosher, he's saying now. It would be kosher then, I think, right?
Yeah.
Kosher. Okay. But we said it's kosher anyways, the Gitei Mamon. I guess we're saying the beginning of the Mishnah said that Shtar Mamon is kosher in our kaos shel of the chavim. When is it possible? It's only possible when it's done in a base in shel hedyot. But when it's kosher, which the Mishnah is referring to, it's kosher when it's done in a base in shel dayanim. That's what the Mishnah is saying. It's not such a clear read, but that's what the Gemara is explaining to us.
Also, is this only going like one of the tirutzim before? We had two explanations on what it means that dafka shtar get and shtar shechra. Gemara asks loshna shtar mechel loshna shtar matan. And the Gemara says there are two tirutz in Madin de Machusa that they're all pasul if it's not gitim gitim nashim shechra v'adim. Or we said chutz mikidi de nashim to tell us that shtar mecher is kasher. Shtar mecher is kasher. Shtar matan is the one that's not
correct. So you want to, is this going on
so
both?
Is this only going like one of those terutzim? Because the hanachi here is that that shtari mecher are different. Because Rashi's referencing before that it's chutz mekigit. It's like chutz mekigit in Rashi.
That's what it sounds like.
Otherwise, it wouldn't make be a qualifier to say when it's puzzle. Is dafka by shtar hedyotot? We never said it was kosher. It has to be going like the side of chutz mekigit.
That sounds like yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, there seem to be some interesting tosafim on the side here about the different names, the examples I've given of Shemus Mufalkin here. Not sure what he really means by all this, but what we see from the Gemara, which I think Adam was referring to yesterday, is that we have examples. The Gemara is going to give examples, I think, later on about Shemus Shenu Mufalkin. We see it's such a concept that a Jew can have a non-Jewish name. I think it's the top of Amud Beis, right?
Actually, yeah, I was referring to the Gemara that says that Rov Yisrael Shub Chutz Laretz Kam Shemus Avdi Kachav.
Yeah, so that's that. I think it's a...
The what? Rov Yisrael who lives in Chutz Laretz is called by Shemus.
The next time, we're going to see this.
We're going to see it soon, so I'll wait for the Ramosha on this. What?
Rabbeinu Peter, Peter.
Yes, this is true. So we'll see the number of examples. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, Tanya, the Braisa tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Kach, Amar Rabbi Shimon lechachamim, Mitzidon. Rabbi Shimon said to chachamim, Lo nechalku Rabbi Kiva chachamim, Al kol sharos, Ha'olin bar kal shav to chachamim. They don't argue about a case of a document passing through a non-Jewish court. She'af apishe chosmein of the chachamim, even though the goyim are the ones signing it, the ksheir and the kasher. Va'afilu gite nashim v'shechur yavadim lo nechalku el bezman shenasu behedio. And they only argue when it was done, it was processed, in a unprofessional court. Sure, Rekiva machshir v'chachamim psulin. Rekiva even then would permit it, and chachamim would disqualify it. Chutz mi gitin ashim v'shichur yavadim. How do you read that point for a second here?
That they're always kosher.
They're always kosher.
Gitin ashim v'shichur yavadim are kosher. Chachamim are postulin.
Except for they permit gitin ashim v'shichur yavadim. That they permit. Interesting. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Eluk Sheirim B'Makom Shein Yisrael Chosmin. Even this case is kasher. Even Gitin Ashim are kasher in a situation of where there are no Yisrael, no Jews to sign. Aval B'Makom Yisrael Chosmin Lo. But if there's a place where there are Jews available to sign, then it would not be kasher. Okay, so these are the three opinions. Let's get them down again a second. The Braisa says, in a situation, all Sharos that are going through a professional Bezdin, a non-Jewish Bezdin, a Goyish Bezdin, all documents are going to be good. All monetary documents, all Gitin Ashim, all Shechur Yavadim are going to be good. In a situation when it was done in a Bezdin Shel Hedyot, of a Goyish Hedyot Bezdin, Rabbi Kiva still permits everything, and Chachamim passel everything except for Gitin Ashim, v'shichur yavadim, they permit that case, and seemingly because they hold, like Rabbi Elazar, that Ede Mesira Karti. And then comes on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, we only permit them if there's no Jews available to sign. But if there are Jews available to sign, then we would not permit it. So those are the three opinions. So the Gemara now says, wait a second. Makom Mashein Yisrael Chosman, Nami, Ligzer Atta Makom Mashein Yisrael Chosman. So wait a second. If it's in a situated place where there are no Jews, we still shouldn't allow the goyim to sign them because there's going to be a confusion. The whole idea why you can't sign them, look at Rashi. Rashi says, the first Y line down, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Af Elu Gitin Ashim, even when it comes to Gitin Ashim, Ksherim, you can have goyim sign them, B'makom Meshein Yisrael Cholzman, Klomer Af Elu Gitin Ashim Sha'atem Machshir, even these Gitim that you permit, when are they kosher? Not where Jews are unavailable. What it means is the goyim don't let them sign whatever decree they have. They don't let the Jews sign. So the concern is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds it's about confusing the signatures. If I see this person sign with the name of let's say Adam, so I might think, oh, that guy Adam's kosher for everything else, and he could also serve as an aid. He must be Jewish. He could serve to watch, to do the Mesira, to be an aid Mesira of the get. But in a situation, he says, where they don't allow the Jews to ever sign, there's never an issue of confusion. If Adam signs his name, and he's not Jewish, he signs his name, everyone knows that he cannot be an aid Mesira because he's not Jewish. From the very fact that he signed the document, tells us he's not Jewish. There's no concern. But in a situation where they do allow Jews to sign as well, says Rashi. But b'makom sheyisrael chosmin, where Jews are allowed to sign, Rashi explains, af api sheshemos halalu muvhakin, even though these names are known names, exclusive names, d'ovdei chachavim, that only goyim use, heim psum, they're still possible, di machsheris, because if you permit them to sign, b'hani asa lachshir b'shemos shein muvhakim, that might lead you to permit even non-Jewish names that are not muvhakim, that which are used by Jews as well. So they said you can never have non-Jews sign in areas, again, in areas where they permit Jews to sign, you can never have a non-Jew sign. So the Gemara wants to know why not. I shouldn't permit in cases where Jews can't sign, B'makom, Gemara again asks, B'makom she'en yisrael chosmin, nami ligzer, you should also have the gzera, not to let the goyim sign, atu makom she'yisrael chosmin, because what's going to happen is, in, let's say, Cedars, where they don't let Jews sign, So some guy is going to sign it. And then you go over to Woodmere, right, and you're going to permit him in a case of Woodmere where they do allow Jews to sign, and you're going to start permitting, getting confusing with different places and different names. So you should never let Jews, rather, goyim sign. So Gemara says no. Shema mishma machlev. People confuse different names with each other. As ba'asel machlev. A person does not confuse with different places. So therefore, just because in the document it said Cedar, said a goy sign, doesn't mean when I come to Woodmere, I'm going to say he must be good in Woodmere as well. I'll know that there are different places, different minhagim, I won't confuse the two. But within one city of Woodmere, if I have a goy sign here, I might think that goy is a kosher goy, because Jews are allowed to sell in Woodmere, sign in Woodmere. So if he signed, and it's a name that's used for Jews and non-Jews, I might think, oh, this guy with the name Adam must be a Jew. and therefore maybe he's also able to witness the Masir as well. That's why we asserted within Woodmir. But from Cedars to Woodmir, there's no such confusion. Okay, a little bit confusing today. Gemara now says, quotes from Ravina. Ravina says, Savar lachshuri b'chnufiasa de'armai. He wanted to permit, in this case, what Rashi says is, Rashi savar lachshuri shar sharos. He wanted to permit other types of documents. B'chnufia de'armai she'enum arkos. Chnufia usually means a gathering. Arami refers to goyim, a gathering of goyim that were not courts. They were hediotos. That's what it seems like. He wanted to permit this. So Amalei Rav Rafim, Rafim says to Ravina, Arkaos Tanan, you have to use to only court systems, people that are professional judges, only they qualify as a bezdin, a non-Jewish bezdin, but not a simple gathering of hediotos. Amalei Rav, Rav says now, Hai Shara Parsa, a Persian shtar, Rashi says, Shaso Peloshan Parsi, was written in Persian, V'chasmu Parsaim hediotos Olav, and regular Persians wrote, signed on them. So the Masa Nehali, the Gemara says, that was given to him. Bape Sadi Yisrael, that was handed to him in front of Jewish witnesses. Magbinan Be Mibnei Chari, you are allowed to collect from Bnei Chari, from property that's available. Okay, so, does Rashi say anything here? Rashi does not say anything here. So either way, it's a good shtar. That person gives me a shtar. What type of shtar are we referring to here? The shtar chov. It was given to me in front of other people that I'm able to collect from the Bnei Chorin, but I cannot collect from the Mishubadim. Okay.
Sounds like Rabbi Akiva, yes. Right, because this is Hediotos, and it's by Hediotos of Shtari Mama, Gitei Mama.
Uh-huh. Right. But would Rabbi Akiva permit you to connect from Mishubadim as well, though? Rabbi Akiva seemingly would permit across the board. This is limiting it to Bnei Chorin only. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, definitely not Chachamim, say by Hediotos, it's okay, Pasol.
Right.
Shemir Gamaliel says Tale on the Makom.
Rashi doesn't make any comments here. Gemara doesn't seem to be addressing this either. Let's see, the Gemara might answer this actually. Let's go a little bit further and we'll see if it does. The Gemara says, V'hallo yada l'mikre, but wait a second, how could this document work? He doesn't know how to read it. Rashi says, V'hallo yadu ha'edim shemasu b'fneim, the Jews don't know Persian. So how could they serve as witnesses? They don't know what's going on here. L'mikre, Rashi says, V'lo yada ma'inehu, they don't know what they're testifying on. V'heicha misadi la'acherzman Allah demil, so they can't say, I saw that document that said so-and-so, this and this was given to so-and-so, they don't know what they were witnessing. So the Gemara says, no, but yadai, they knew. It's a situation where they knew the language. But don't you need writing that's impossible to be forged? So what's the shaila here? Rashi explains, the cloth has to be fixed in a certain way that you could recognize if someone erased and fixed something, it's recognizable what it was. So the Gemara says, "Einachanami b'dafitzan," where they did the process. What do they say in English? B'dafitzan means
Golnuts.
Okay. Mm. Okay, I don't know what that means, but somehow there's some type of process that they did to the cloth and the writing that they would not be able to forge it. So they got around that problem. This was unforgeable documents. The Gemara asks an interesting question. I don't know why the Gemara assumes this. Don't you have to repeat? Sum up the end of this document in the last line. The Gemara says, they did, okay. They had their proper document. Everything was written properly in the proper cloth. So if that's the Ke'ihachi, if this was a really good document, it was just written in Persian, but the Edom knew what the Persian, Mishabdinami. They should have also been able to collect not only from the Bnei Chorin, but it should be a full-fledged document. What's the Shaila here? So the Gemara answers, less like Kalim. There was no voice. There was no rumors. People didn't know about that. You're only allowed to collect from the Mishubadim if the owner of the Mishubadim were aware of it. So in other words, let's say I owe money to Adam. Adam lent me $100, I owe him money now. And if I don't pay him back, he's allowed to take my property. Now, if I take that property and sell it, he could collect from the Mishubadim because he has a lien on my property. But it's only true if the buyers are aware that there's a lien. They did the title report and they saw that there's a lien on my property. For some reason, in this case, there's less lakala. There's no kala. They didn't know about this. So therefore, when I sold it, they get to keep it. It's not fair to them. Adam can only collect from my b'nei chor, my available property. So why is there no kala here? So if you look at the last Rashi in the page, let's see if he explains this. Less like Kala, Lefi She'en Chosman Yisrael. Since Jews did not sign the document, the Sadi, the Chasime, the signatures, the ones, the signees, Ashtara, Einan Mafki Kala. They weren't available to tell people what they just signed on. Ulufikach Ein Halokech Nifsa, the purchaser of my property, he can't lose out. Amarlei, Lo Havi Yadana, the Mishabelech. I didn't know there was a lien on this. Ubeperk Beis, Armino Di Chasim Alei Yisrael, Tarif Mishabdi. Only if a Jew signed it. So you're right, in terms of the qualifying and saying that it's a good get, all you need is two Jews, or a good shtar, I should say, two Jews to witness the Messiah. That's okay, that makes it a good shtar. But for the benefit of the purchasers of my land, you need Jewish signers on it to make it, they're the ones who are going to start talking about, did you hear that Adam lent Yoni money? Did you hear about that? People who sign are the ones who talk about this, and since they were not Jewish signers, therefore the Mishubadim get to stay in the property's possession. Okay, we're good? Great. Mara now says the last line of the Amud here, by Menei Reish Laksh, Reb Yochanan, Reish Laksh, ask Reb Yochanan the following, Shaila Gongon, Tamil Beis now, Eidim HaChasumim Al HaGet, Eidim who sign on the get, Ushmosan Kishemos Ov De Kochavim Mahu, their names are like non-Jews. Okay, do they qualify? And Rashi just explains this Shaila a little bit further, Eidim HaChasumim Al HaGet, Meret Yisrael, they came from Meret Yisrael, there's no shayla b'fayin nechtav for whatever reason. B'shemosam kishemos ov dekachavim, says Rashi, v'lo yadinan ei ov dekachavim ninu o Yisrael. It came from out of town. They don't know who these people are. They could be Jews. They could pass for non-Jews. I don't really know based on the name that's there. So what's the halacha in that case? So Amrulay, he says, lo bal yadenu el alokis v'lus v'ichsharnu. I only know of one case that once came to our court, and we permitted it. The names were Los, Locos, and Los. Lewis, maybe? I don't know. Lewis? Lucas? Is there English? Luke? Lucas. And Lewis. Is Lewis? Lewis?
John Lucas.
Yeah. Okay.
The Shiloh here is by. They're going to be Eidim Asira, and just whether it's Mizuk Mitocho issue or to Rashi.
Let's see. Rashi says, Lo bal yadenu get sheshemos of the kochavim chasumim bo ela echad shayu chasumim bo Lucas velus, Lewis. We permitted it with the Eidim Asira. The Eidim Asira were there. They witnessed the handing over. I guess the Shliach brought it over. And he brought it over from Eretz Yisrael. That's why there's no need for B'fayin Nechtav. He brought it over and handed it over to the woman. So the Eidim saw this being handed over. So the Eidim Asira were permitted. The only question is, as Adam pointed out, is it going to be disqualified from within, since perhaps their Eidim that are puzzled, their non-Jewish Eidim on the get, will not disqualify it, and they permitted it.
As Eidim Chasima,
the ones Chasima. Who signed it.
Right. So Eidim Asira.
Eidim Asira, there are two Jews who were present when the Shliach gave it over. It's good.
The actual get itself.
Right. Reb Elazar doesn't require any Eidim on the Shtar, but if there are Eidim, then it could disqualify it if they're possible Eidim.
We said that the Mizuk Mitocho concern, according to Reb Elazar, by the case of Erkos, was Shema Nimsru Ba'apayu.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you vade did not give it in front of those two people. Right. You gave it in front of two yidin. That's not the question. It's just, does the fact that these two people had questionable goyish names even possible in that scenario where it's already, you're definitely not giving it in front of those two people?
Is it concerned that you're giving it in front of those people, or maybe in general, in a different scenario, you might use these two people for Eidim Asira? By that point, you would know who they are, whether they're Jewish or not.
Yeah. Who, the Eidim that signed?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rashi and Yud, there were a few Rashis that seemed to say some slightly different things, but Rashi and Yud said that the concern was Asilas Mach Achasumehen, Achasumin, Lamos Rubifnehen, and then give it in front of them.
So the Gemara is about to qualify this a little bit further. He says, Vidavka, Locus, Lucas, Velus, Lewis, the Lo Shchichi, Yisrael, Damaskid, Bishmasai, these names, and no one ever used these names, and that's why we permit it. No one would ever think to use them as Eidim Asira. Aval Shmosa, Acharina, other names, Yishchichi, Yisrael, but if the names that are going to be used by Jews and non-Jews alike, then one would not be allowed to use them. It would be disqualifying from within. Mizuyif mitocho. So Gemara asks, "Aseve gittin habon mimidinas hayam ve'idim chasum aleihem." If a get comes from overseas, the Eretz Yisrael, and then there are witnesses that signed on them, afa bisha shemos and kishemos of the chachavim, even though they have non-Jewish names, k'sherim b'nei sherov Yisrael shebichutz laretz, as Adam said before, shmos and kishemos of the chachavim. So their names, most people living in Klutharts have non-Jewish names, so you guys are in good company. So we see that it's permitted to rely on, sorry if I keep poking at you guys, There's a shayla. The reason I was thinking about mentioning it before, I'll mention it now. There's a shayla that's brought to Rav Moshe. He's asked the shayla whether a person could have a non-Jewish name. Is that permitted? He says, what do you mean? Of course it's permitted. You look at the Gemara in Gittin that says they're allowed to. And he goes through a number of Rishonim, Achorim, who all had non-Jewish names.
Trying to be like the Tzibor.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to fit in. Exactly. Yeah. Why should I stick out?
You can have it. Doesn't mean you have to be called by it.
Either way, so that's permitted. So don't feel so bad. So the Gemara said that I only Rav Moshe had an English name, though, but a Russian name.
I also have a question in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. They have like tons of names in Hebrew that they just make up out of nowhere.
Right. Are those considered... Right.
Nimrod.
They have all these names that they just make them up.
Yeah.
So is that considered a Jewish name? Just right. Because it's in Hebrew.
Exactly. I know the Mekubalim are not very into those names.
No.
Made up names at all.
Everything they come up with is crazy names.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I wonder, are other languages like that? They have the ability to just make names just based on... I don't think so.
Because they take words and they make names.
Right, exactly. Our names, English names, are not words, really. So
if you look at the Shemas of the kids of the Shvatim, they're also pretty...
St. Andrews.
Good names that we don't use.
We do not use of the Shvatim?
No, not of themselves, of the kids.
Of the kids, we do not use,
when
right.
They say all the...
Correct, right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, either way, so the Gemara asks, wait a second, doesn't this Braisa tell us that a person, that all these Gittin had different names that were shared by Goyim and Jews alike? So it answers the Gemara, Hasam, Kitakatani, Bistaima, Bipnesha, Rovisol, Shibchotlar, Shmosan, Kishamasan, Chacham. That's because the Gemara says, because that was normal. But our case in the beginning was talking about they came from Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, they have a Jewish name, so that's why in coming from Eretz Yisrael, you can't. At 7:30, yeah. So Gemara says, "Vikadamri." There are those who answer right before the Mishnah, "Ki masisa by minei upashit levi masisa." What's this different version of the Gemara here? They did the other way around, meaning they first asked from the case of the Braisa that came from Medina Sayam that had non-Jewish names, and they asked the question from the Mishnah that said you can have non-Jewish names, and they gave the same exact answer. There's a difference between originating in Chutzlart, which is permitted to have non-Jewish names, and you could rely on such edim, as opposed to something originating in Eretz Yisrael, where it was unlikely to have a non-Jewish name, and therefore you cannot trust if it had a non-Jewish name on those shtaros. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us. Okay, yeah. The new Mishnah says, Mazel Tov again.
Tomorrow,
yeah. No, I did not decide.
Harry, what's Minyanim tomorrow?
I'm pretty sure it's regular. It's not a Sunday.
Yeah, but I think it's holiday.
No, it's holiday.
It's a holiday tomorrow.
Probably.
They're not having a Friday morning.
The Mishnah tells us now in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Ha'omer Tein Get Zer Liishti. A person says, "Give this get to my wife." Ushar Shichor Zer La'avdi. Give this get Shichor to my Eved. Imrotz Alachzer B'Shem Yachzer Divrei Rebbe Meir. We saw earlier in the Gemara a few days ago. The Meir says they could retract as long as it never got to the point, got to the Eved, got to the Isha. You're able to retract. Comes along Chachamim Omrim Begite Nashim. You're allowed to retract because it's a Chovater. A vow when it comes to lo b'shichur yavadim, but when you send off a get shichur to an eved, even if it hasn't gotten yet to the eved, you're not allowed to retract it. The fish is achen la'adam shlo b'fanav. The moment that you gave the get shichur to the shliach, he's already mekablet on behalf of the eved, and the eved goes free, even though he never received it, because it's achen la'adam shlo b'fanav. You're able to be zocher to someone if it's a benefit for him, even if he's not present. It's considered zochus. You can't retract on it. As opposed to the Mishnah says, "Ein chavin lo ela b'fanav." You're not able to give a chovah to a person unless it's b'fanav, unless he actually or she actually receives it. So that's why when it comes to a get isha, it's a chofer. It doesn't take effect until she actually sees it. As opposed to a shichra, it takes effect even before he sees it because it's a zuchus from. That's a distinction that the chachamim make. The Mishnah says, "She'im yirtza." Why? How's this a zuchus versus a chovah? Because the fish im yirtza shelo lazon es abda rashai. If the other wants, he doesn't have to serve, doesn't have to feed the Eved. The Eved could be on his own, fend for himself, and therefore it's a chova for the, therefore it's a chova. But you can't avoid feeding your wife. So therefore, when the wife goes free, it's a chova. Now she has a new obligation to herself, to feed herself. When she's married, she has a zechus. She gets fed by her husband. That's why it's a chova to get divorced. As opposed to an eved, whether he's free or not free, either way, he has to fend for himself. So it's a, but why, it doesn't explain why it's a zechus for him though. The Gemara, I think, will explain why it's a zechus. Did Rashi point that out?
No, but I have on the side. Shum Rashba say that the schos is become its chayiv mitzvahs and mutter bebaschar.
Right. So that I think the Gemara is going to elaborate a little bit more on this, but it's not a chova for him to be freed. In terms of his mizonos, he's going to have to fend for himself either way. Why is it zechus? So he adds in the Pnei Yeshua and the Rashba say it's a zechus because he has now shaychus to mitzvahs. The Mishnah continues to say now, the Rei, who pulls his avdo min a tshuma, so kishem shu pulls his isho. So this line here, the Gemara will explain what this means, I think, as well. So it's more of a question. The way Rashi says is, v'halo, who poses avdo beget zeh min a tshuma, amachovu, he's a chov. Beforehand he was able to eat tshuma. Now, if he was a evid of a Kohen, now that he's no longer an evid of a Kohen, he can't eat tshuma. So isn't it a chov for him to be free? He has less to choose from. He can't eat from tshuma. So the response is, amru lo mipnei shu kinyano. So Rashi explains here, amru lo mipnei shu kinyano, hai de mifsal begita min a tshuma, that which he's disqualified from eating tshuma because of this get. Mipnei shu kinyano, the Kohen ad achshav, v'chi mishachar le lav kinyano hu, Gemara mefarish my kamar. It's a very strange response. In the end of the day, he can't eat tshuma anymore. So it should be a chov. What's the relevance of being a kinyan or not kinyan? How does it respond to him no longer being able to eat tshuma? So the Gemara says now, Yosef, Rav Huna, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Kamed, Rav Yirmiyah v'Yosef, Rav Yirmiyah kahamanamnim, Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. The Yosef, Rav Huna v'Kamar, Rav Huna said, Shema Aminah, we learn from here, Midrabanon ha-tofis l'balchov kona. A person who's tofis l'balchov is going to be kona. And one of it's worthwhile doing this now since we have a lot of time tomorrow. Maybe it's kedai to stop here. You know, tomorrow's a decent sized daf. We'll have more time to appreciate this. Yeah, I think let's stop here a little bit early. I think we'll appreciate it much better tomorrow. This sugya, it's a little bit of a more in-depth sugya.